Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together, we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Before we get started, I'd like to say that we have a little gift for you, and I'll tell you more about what it is and how you can get that gift later on in the show. But in the meantime, the topic of our show for today is the coming of the world teacher. And I'd like to give some credit to Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust Organization. Lucis Trust Organization sponsors this show. And Alice Bailey wrote 24 volumes of literature. And the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear in this show comes from the works of Alice Bailey. Our opening thought is a statement from the Bhagavad Gita. Whenever there is a withering of the law and an uprising of lawlessness on all sides, then I manifest myself. For the firm establishing of the law, I come to birth age after age. Who is it that comes to birth after age after age?
Well, in the Bhagavad Gita, that was Krishna speaking. Krishna, in the Ageless Wisdom, is seen as an earlier incarnation of Christ, but it's the world teacher. And according to the Ageless Wisdom, there have been a number of world teachers. Christ is one, but there have been others. As he said, I come to birth age after age, cyclically and at certain critical intervals in human history down through history, there have been appearances of great beings who have appeared within humanity to give us an example, an embodiment of divine energy, and to anchor in the human experience a quality, a divine quality that previously has not been recognized by humanity. We could look at the life of Christ and realize that he anchored the energy of divine love in a way that had never earlier before then been experienced by humanity. And Houston Smith, in his wonderful book, The Religions of Man, now called The World's Religions, writes about the early Christians and their experience of that love that was so powerful, so profound, that it was enough for them to enable them to face the persecution and death that they did by hundreds, if not thousands. The early Christians were thrown to the lions and all that sort of thing. That really was their fate. And they went to their fate with joy in their hearts because they had experienced the impact of Christ's love in a way that I think most of us can only try to imagine. They knew it firsthand. They knew it personally. So these great beings, which are called in the Ageless Wisdom avatars, meaning one who comes down from far away, is an aspect of the Ageless Wisdom teaching that's very profound, very interesting, and especially meaningful at this time of year.
Yes, love is, of course, the great theme, and Christ was the embodiment of this great cosmic law of love, actually. And it worked through him, and he expressed it in a more perfect way than has ever been seen on earth before. And he, in fact, anchored this great energy of love and wisdom in the world, in human consciousness, and he was one of the first to do that. And so that's why this time of the year and the holiday season of Christmas, why it's a time of great joy and love. And so that's the celebration. And he also brought the energy of light into the world. He anchored that energy of light, and it's said to be the distinguishing note for the past 2,000 years, this age of Pisces, which began at the time when Christ was first in the world. And since then, so much light has grown in the world. There's a light of, obviously, the light of electric lights, and the light of universal education. So it's really a theme that has spread throughout the world now.
And it's interesting that this coming of light in the form of the birth of Christ comes at the darkest moment of the year, the winter solstice. And this is where we find something really fascinating, the overlapping of these of different religious traditions that have to do with similar stories to that of the birth of Christ. The ancient Persian religion believed that Mithras was the savior of that people, and he too was born, it was said, at the winter solstice on December 25th, and he too was born in a cave, as Christ probably was. We traditionally have believed he was born in a stable, but more likely the stables that housed animals were dug into the hillsides and was more accurately a cave. And he too was born of a virgin mother. And all of this is quite fascinating because it's full of spiritual meaning. Even the Egyptian religion taught that Horus was born of Isis, the Virgin Mother, and the Buddha was born of the Virgin Maya. So these are themes in human history. But it doesn't mean that it's just mythological. Well, certainly Buddha and Christ were real beings who lived on Earth. But the fact that the winter solstice figures as the time of their birth is interesting because that's the time of greatest darkness in the Northern Hemisphere. And darkness is sometimes equated with pure spirit in the Ageless Wisdom. Oddly enough, darkness is pure spirit. The book of Isaiah in the Bible, I think, hinted at that when it spoke of the treasures of darkness.
Yes, in the esoteric traditions, it explains that light is so brilliant. The light of God is so brilliant and so beyond comprehension that it's actually dark. And so where that symbolism comes in, I think, doesn't mean it's evil. Sometimes we equate darkness with evil, but this is a case where light is so brilliant that it's actually dark.
And coming back to this birth in a cave, that also is very interesting to ponder because the world saviors, the world teachers who are born in a cave are enacting a profound spiritual event in that the divine being who is the world teacher coming to Earth and being born in the depths of Earth itself in a cave is symbolic of the anchoring of pure spirit in matter. And there is also the relation to the first initiation, which we've talked about on this program. The first initiation is the birth of the Christ principle in the cave of the heart, according to the writings of Alice Bailey. In other words, in the heart of every human being exists the principle, the nucleus or the tiniest atom of the same quality that we see full-blown, full-fledged in Christ. And this was what Paul meant when he spoke of Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Right, and that brings up the point that I think is very important to bring out here, that Christ was an intermediary, a divine intermediary. And this factor of being an intermediary is quite important because he interceded between God and man, between God and humanity. It is necessary to have this intermediate stage to kind of step down the energies of God and act as a distributor of the energy to human consciousness. And the soul plays the same kind of role as an intermediary between the higher monadic, the father aspect, and the human being. So that's why the Christ is also a person, but it's also a principle, the principle of the soul.
Well, isn't any gifted teacher in any classroom an intermediary between the soul and the student, awakening the light within the student by the impact of the teacher's relationship to that student? Too often in modern times, I think education is viewed as a group of students who are like baby birds in a nest with their mouth wide open and the teacher dropping the worm into their mouths. That's not really education. Education is drawing out of a student what is already in him. Educare, the root of education, means to draw forth or draw out. And again, that comes back to this idea of Christ in you, the hope of glory. The world teacher comes age after age to draw out of humanity that next spiritual level or expression that is nascent in humanity but ready for growth.
It's related to the continuity of revelation. It is said that the Christ comes to reveal the next aspect of divine revelation, and the law of the energy of love was the revelation that he brought 2,000 years ago. And when he returns, as many believe that he will soon, he will continue that revelation and bring forth the new, the next stage that is just waiting for humanity to unfold.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, our topic for today, the coming of the world teacher. And we have a gift for you today, and if you want to request a free copy of the pamphlet, the title of which is The Coming One, call 1-866-NY-LUCIS. LUCIS is L-U-C-I-S. And I think by reading the pamphlet, you can explore this topic a little bit in greater depth, and I think you'll enjoy it. So once again, to request a free copy of the pamphlet, the title of which is The Coming One, call 1-866-NY-LUCIS. That's 1-866-695-8247. It's 1-866-695-8247. We also have another special offer from LUCIS Publishing Company, and that's the book Ponder on This. Ponder on This, which is a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey. I especially liked it because it's a summary of each of the major topics that Alice Bailey explores in all of her 24 volumes, and you can more or less get an idea of which topics you're interested in and develop a priority of which topics you want to approach first. And it's available for $16. The special offer comes in the form of a discount of free shipping and handling. So what you need to do is send a check or money order for $16 to LUCIS Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, that's LUCIS Publishing, LUCIS, L-U-C-I-S, LUCIS Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And you just write a little note saying that you heard about the offer on the show Inner Sight. We also have a website. We have our previously archived shows. It's an archived library of LUCIS Trust shows, Inner Sight shows, rather. And the website is www.lucistrust.org. And in case you miss shows or you'd want to take a look at or listen to some of our previous shows, I think you'll enjoy them a lot. We have many of them archived on that website. So you can key into that and listen to the shows, past shows. Also, we have a website on WWOR. You can key into the WOR website if you've missed a show. WOR holds it for you for close to a couple of weeks. And if you've missed tomorrow's show, for example, www.WOR710.com. And that the show will be held for 2 weeks. So when is the, getting back to our show on the World Teacher, do you think, we certainly have a lot of pandemonium going now and a lot of anarchy.
A lot of the withering of the law.
He should be on his way pell-mell.
Yes. Well, yes, if we look at the world, we can see the withering of the law and the uprising of lawlessness on all sides. And the Bhagavad Gita said, then I manifest myself. I suppose we could say, what does he mean by the withering of the law? I think it means turning away from what we know, the best that we know, turning away from our highest and wisest understanding. We're denying that when we pursue materialism and war and hatred and separatism, we know better on some level. I really do believe most people know better. And that is, I think, the withering of the law. So apparently all signs point to the return of the World Teacher. What will he teach and what will make his work possible? Well, the writings of Alice Bailey say we have some work to do to prepare conditions for him. I mentioned that the birth of Christ at Christmas is symbolized in the first initiation, the birth of the Christ in the cave of the heart. And the first initiation is that step onto the spiritual path when the human being begins to turn his outer physical plane life around to instill a new rhythm in the way he lives, a new habit in his approach to all physical plane activity. And we can look at the world and say we have a lot of changing to do.
Yes, I think the withering of the current law perhaps refers to the law of law of love that Christ anchored in the world 2,000 years ago. In many respects, that love is flourishing and it is very much in place in human consciousness, but in other respects, it's being disregarded, and it's produced so much, just the opposite, it seems, so much hatred and so much separateness, and it goes against everything that Christ represents. And he came into the world to build a sense of right human relations in humanity. And that is so much in evidence of so much needed today, is right human relations among all peoples of the world.
That's interestingly, I think, symbolized in the fact, in the meaning of the word Bethlehem, where Christ was born 2,000 years ago. Bethlehem means house of bread. And we can look at bread as a symbol of sustenance that should and must be shared, but it isn't.
Mm-hmm. And you remember when Christ was born, the angels proclaimed peace on earth, goodwill towards men.
We're not doing too well on that front.
No. And no, there's been a withering of goodwill and in some respects. And yet, it's getting back to basics, the basics of love, the basics of the expression of the law of love in the world.
Sharing.
Sharing,
love,
cooperation,
goodwill, cooperation.
All of these, they sound kind of platitudinous, perhaps, but they are the basis for the new world that is in the process of being born right now. And we have to, that's part of the preparation work for the World Teacher to return to a pure expression of love.
What I find so fascinating about the Christmas story is that it's corroborated on so many spiritual levels. There's the The statement from the Bhagavad Gita, there's the parallel of the stories in the Persian religion, in Egyptian religion, and so on. And then there's the astronomical and astrological validation, because at the time of the winter solstice, the constellation Virgo is on the horizon, Virgo being the Virgin Mother. And she's depicted in most symbolisms of this constellation as the Virgin holding a shaft of wheat. Again, the reference to bread. Bread being the symbol of sustenance which human beings must share. And in my belief, the refusal to share the world's resources, to distribute sustenance to the neediest, and in fact, the claiming of that sustenance in the hands of just a very few people, the great disparity between the rich and the poor, is a real sin and a real problem for us that we have to resolve.
That's kind of a breaking down of the law, too, the realization of the need for sharing, the law of sharing and the law of sustenance of the sharing of the energy of of goodwill and the energy that sustains life. So it's all of these attitudes that are being denigrated today that and humanity recognizes this and is crying out, I think. And this also, it's an invocative sound that brings forth the world teacher.
And we can see steps being taken to prepare the way for the world teacher. The writings of Alice Bailey, that in addition to goodwill and sharing, there must be an attempt on the part of the churches and the political fields to clean house. And I think we can see that underway, certainly in the field of religion.
And also in politics. I mean, there's a lot of cleansing that's going on in many governments and in legislatures and all over the world. And
look at Ukraine and what's come to light there, the fraud of that election. And the people were so indignant that they turned out in the streets and stayed there until something was done. That's terribly positive.
That's right. And they recognize the withering of that law there and the lawlessness, and they're demanding a change. So that's a hopeful sign, absolutely.
Yeah, these things such as what happened in Ukraine and the house cleaning by the politicians, those might be seen by some people as having nothing to do with spirituality, but in fact they are deeply spiritual in significance, because our objective, humanity, is to redeem the material world. And that's what the birth of Christ in the cave of the heart, the first initiation, is all about, getting the physical plane life in order. And when we allow fraud and deceit and suffering on the physical plane to exist, we're denying our highest spiritual knowledge.
And there are other things that the world teacher will come to face, I think, when, as it says in the writings of the Alice Bailey books, that it will return to the idea of resurrection, the fact of the resurrection of and the immortality of the soul. That's very important, and also the emphasis that we've placed the last 2,000 years on death. And this has colored all the teachings and the orthodox teachings down through the ages. And in the new age that's coming on now, the life and the freedom from the tomb of matter will be an emphasis. So all of these things are part of the preparation work. We can begin to think about them. That's why we're talking about them now. We're hoping that you people are listening today will begin to think about these ideas and realize that the old must pass away to make way for the new.
You mentioned a little while ago that the world teacher comes in response to the demand of humanity. And I think that's something we can all reflect on. We might tend to think that God knows what our need is and he will take care of that need in his own wise assessment. But in fact, we have to be responsible too for our progress. We have to reach a point where we insist upon some kind of divine sustenance, some kind of remedy for the ills that we have inflicted upon ourselves. But we have to take steps on our own. We can't allow the powers that be, which we call God, to do everything for us. The world teacher comes in response to humanity's call. And this is what I think is sometimes a little frustrating to envision, because the inertia and the passivity of people is a worry. When, especially in a country as comfortable as the United States, maybe we are prisoners of our comfort and our materialism to the extent that we don't even rouse ourselves to aspire to something higher.
And maybe we just have to follow this materialistic path until it's so obviously wrong that to everyone that we'll begin to pull back from it. Create a more balanced approach to life, because that's what really has to happen, I think, eventually.
Well, it can begin with an urge to share and to distribute the abundance that we have been blessed with in a way that alleviates the suffering of, what, half the world's people who live on $2 a day or less. Can we even begin to imagine what that must be like? 20% of the people of the world live on a dollar a day or less. There's a great deal that could be done to redistribute wealth, and it would be right in keeping with the coming of the world teacher. It's a goal we can aspire to.
And it's bringing back to the basics of the teachings, of the teachings of love. And that's the essential ingredient that we have to return to, I think, is this, the great law of love, and that should be the foremost in our consciousness.
Please order the gift from Lucis Trust. Request a free copy of the pamphlet, The Coming One. Call 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS or 1-866-695-8247. It's 1-866-695-8247. And also take advantage of the other special offer, which is a discount on the book Ponder on This. Discount comes in the form of free shipping and handling. It's a compilation of extracts from the 24 books by Alice Bailey. Send a check or money order to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.